Thanks for downloading Scott Harrell's podcast. If you use a smart speaker, you can always ask Alexa to enable the SOS radio skill.
Introverts make up about half of our population, but most people don't really know what to do with the attributes of being an introvert. Or many think, I'm an extrovert, but there are tendencies sometimes that you can still have when you like to recharge in the way that you interact with others. And we're talking with Wall Street Journal bestselling author Holly Girth today at SOS Radio. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Scott.
So help us understand the power and purpose of introverts. This world needs to know more.
Yes, there are a lot of misunderstandings out there. And one of the biggest is that being an introvert or extrovert is about how much we like people or small talk. It's actually about how our brains and nervous systems are wired. So introverts and extroverts just differ in some of those ways. And I think it is intentionally by design that introverts and extroverts are a complementary pairing that God made.
So talk about some of the brain science and the psychological that goes into all of this, Holly.
Yeah, so quick overview. Introverts and extroverts differ in three primary ways. First, the neurotransmitter that makes us feel best. So that's a chemical messenger in our brains. Extroverts are drawn more to one called dopamine, which acts like caffeine. It revs us up, prepares us for action. It's released when we have things coming at us from the outside. So light, noise, sound, people, all of those things. And introverts have a level of dopamine that already feels pretty good to them. It's like we've had our morning cup of coffee, and if we have a lot more of that dopamine, it feels like we've had an entire pot. Maybe exciting at first, but eventually exhausting. And we feel better with a different neurotransmitter called acetylcholine, which I say is more like herbal tea. So it's released when we turn inward, when we're able to have a meaningful conversation with one person, when we can fully focus on a project. Some of the activities that introverts are naturally drawn to, and that's why. And we also use different divisions of our nervous system, parasympathetic and sympathetic. They work in very similar ways to those neurotransmitters. One revs us up, one relaxes us. So there's a difference there too. And then it's fascinating that we also use a different primary brain pathway for processing. So extroverts use a brain pathway that is shorter, faster, more focused on the present. Introverts use one that's longer, more complex, takes into account the past, present, and future. So that's often why introverts just need a little bit of time before they respond, because we are using that different brain pathway. And then once we have a little bit of time for reflection, then we have something that's often really valuable to contribute. So obviously, none of us are 100% introvert or extrovert. We have access to all of this, but it's kind of like being right or left-handed, where we naturally rely on one more, especially in certain situations. And so that's how it is to be an introvert or extrovert.
It's funny because a lot of people think, oh, I'm straight extrovert or I'm straight introvert. And it's about my personality, but it's really not. It's more about how you charge up, right?
Yes, it is, in the sense that different wiring I just described does impact our energy. And so, like I said, an introvert who is exposed to a lot of dopamine, maybe because they go to a big party or something like that, afterward is going to feel somewhat drained and need some time to process. So it's also because introvert nervous systems work kind of like nests with small holes, where we're very observant and catch everything going on around us. But that means our nests get fuller faster. And the way we sort of empty them out is by that alone time where we can reflect and process, and then we're ready for more.
We're talking with Holly Girth today at SWS Radio, and she's a best-selling author and a life coach and a licensed counselor. Holly, you actually have a two-minute quiz on your website that basically breaks it down about how much of an introvert you are. Well, most people just think they're one or the other, introvert or extrovert, but you break it down more like by percentage.
Yeah. So, Scott, did you take my quiz?
I did.
You are
48% introvert. So I lean extrovert,
so
but
very close.
I do like to recharge in the quiet, and if I'm like overstimulated for too long, I feel drained.
Yeah, and I think that's a great example where for some extroverts, absolutely, they still need that time. And so, like I said, it's on that continuum where we have parts of both. I happen to be 96% introvert, so I'm way on one side of the spectrum. But at the same time, I still enjoy some extroverted activities. And so I think it's just understanding this range in which one we naturally lean toward and how to appreciate that in other people who are different than us.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because I enjoy deep conversation and one-on-one conversation. I mean, that's what we do here on this show, right? And so I'm just naturally wired up that way, but I am an extrovert at the same time.
Yes, and that is a great thing. And so one of my biggest concerns, you know, in writing this book was that extroverts would somehow feel like I was playing favorites or using stereotypes. And I want extroverts to be exactly who they're created to be, including sometimes pulling out those introvert strengths that they have that they may not use all the time. But like you said, in your job, that's one that you rely on that's really helpful, that you enjoy, that blesses other people. And so I think it's just, again, about understanding that full range of who we are and how to make the most of all of it.
The human body changes over the course of your life, right? All your likes and your dislikes, even your skin regenerates about once a month. Your taste buds change every 2 weeks. And we're actually talking to author Holly Girth today at SWIS Radio. She's also a licensed counselor, but we're talking about introverts and extroverts. And Holly, can someone change from being an introvert to an extrovert or vice versa over the course of their life? Or is that pretty set?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's one I get asked a lot. So it doesn't seem like it based on studies where they have followed people from when they're infants through adulthood, even as infants, people kind of show these introvert and extrovert characteristics, and those stay pretty consistent for a lifetime. That being said, like we've been talking about, introversion and extroversion are on a continuum. And so we all move more toward the introversion end as we age. So I especially hear from a lot of extroverts that they say, I feel like I'm becoming a little more introverted as I get older. And that is actually true. We all do become a little bit more introverted as we get older. But I don't believe that we switch from one to the other because it is wired into us in those brain and nervous system ways.
So if I told you that a lot of famous authors and celebrities like C.S. Lewis or Max Lucado, Jerry Seinfeld, or even Abe Lincoln were all introverts, would you believe us? We're actually talking with Wall Street Journal bestselling author Holly Girth today at SWIS Radio. Holly, when you think about so many people in culture that are introverts, why do you think we don't understand introverts on a broader level?
I think because often introverts look like extroverts when they're in a specific role, especially professionally. So those people that you named, you know, Jerry Seinfeld, Oprah's an introvert, Joanna Gaines, when we see them, they are in extroverted roles, which is really normal for introverts that we lean on that side in specific situations. And so we end up assuming almost everyone is an extrovert when that's actually not the case. The research shows about half the population is introverts, half is extroverts. And then again, we can equate being an introvert with things like being shy or having social anxiety, which is actually not introversion at all. Being shy or having social anxiety is about fear. And extroverts can be shy or have social anxiety. Introversion, like we've been talking about, is a way of engaging with the world because of a certain type of brain and nervous system wiring. And so I think our culture also leans a little more extroverted right now. And so you put that together, kind of extrovert leaning culture, some misunderstandings about what it means to be an introvert, and the tendency for introverts to look like extroverts in certain situations. And we end up just with some assumptions that aren't totally accurate.
So scripture makes it clear that each and every one of us is wired up with unique giftings and talents that are unique to us. And we're actually digging into that this morning with author and counselor Holly Girth today at SWIS Radio. And Holly, it's easy to compare ourselves with other people, like in our friendship circles or other parents at school or people at church, and everybody has these gifts. A lot of times you feel like they have all these special gifts, but we don't. I mean, you wrote a whole book talking about the strengths of introverts, and this is for anyone to understand the people in their lives that lean towards an introversion mindset. You know, you mentioned different giftings that introverts have that God's really unlocked.
Yes, and I think that those are needed more than ever before. I think one is strategic solitude, that introverts have the capacity for that. And it's been shown in leadership studies that it's essential for introverts and extroverts. And I think we can confuse solitude and isolation. So isolation is being separate, living disconnected from God and others and our true selves. And that is what God meant when he said, it's not good for man to be alone. It's not about physical space. It's about living in a disconnected way. Where introverts, usually when they're choosing time alone, they're choosing solitude, which is intentional time chosen for a purpose. That often helps us lead more connected lives because we have time to do things like pray, to reflect, to reconnect to who we really are. And then we bring all of that back to the world. And so I think in our noisy, busy, overwhelmed world, that capacity for solitude is a strength. Also, introverts, while you said, you know, obviously there are exceptions, in general, introverts are really drawn to meaningful connections. And they often focus on having a few close people in their lives. And I think that that's powerful in a world where we're often told relationships is about quantity over quality, that we need more likes, more followers, more events on our schedules. I think that introverts' capacity to focus on a few people deeply, to focus on quality over quantity, is a powerful thing too. And then the introvert style of leadership, we often lead from behind, which means we champion a person, a project, a cause, and we may not do so in a way that's as visible, but it's just as valuable. And often we pair up with an extrovert when we do that so that we get someone leading from behind, leading out front. And that's what Jennifer Konweiler, an author who wrote a book about introverts, calls genius opposites. So for example, Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak would be a genius opposite pairing. So those are just a few of the strengths that I found that introverts contribute to our world.
We're talking about the powerful purpose of introverts today at SWIS Radio. We're talking with author and counselor Holly Girth. And Holly, when we have kids that are very introverted and we're trying to figure out how to motivate them, like in school, where should we start when we feel like we're not having the connection, when we're trying to speak life to them, or we're trying to challenge them, or we're trying to give them praise? Where would you start, Holly?
I think that one big distinction that's important for grown-ups and kids to understand is that introverts and extroverts actually experience happiness and well-being differently because of those brain and nervous system wiring differences. So for an extrovert, happiness usually looks like enthusiasm and excitement. For an introvert, it often looks like calm and contentment. So well-meaning extrovert parents can worry about their introvert kids because they're not as outwardly excited or expressive or happy about school in the way that an extrovert kiddo might be. And so just knowing that difference, that if your kid's calm and content and they're an introvert, they're probably doing pretty well. And then if there is something going on, just giving that kiddo space to express it, asking questions like, how can I love you well right now? Are you scared, or do you just need some time to reflect? Just really being open to that different way of being in the world rather than assuming that our kids are wired just like us. And I think it's just understanding too how to keep kids from being labeled, from being told you're too shy, you're too quiet, instead saying, you know what? The way you're made is a superpower. You're observant. You notice things about your friends that other people miss. You think deeply about things. You have empathy. Whatever strengths they're showing as an introvert, just to call those out and help them manage the challenges that go with those qualities, but to really affirm that their way of being in the world is not only okay, it's how God designed them.
We're talking with Holly Girth today at SWIS Radio, and she's an author, counselor, and she has a new book called The Powerful Purpose of Introverts, Why the World Needs You to Be You. Thanks for sharing some time with us today, Holly.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion and want to help the podcast grow, you can make a $10 donation through sosradio.net or inside the SOS Radio app. Thanks for your generosity. It helps us experiment with new things and keep the discussions fresh.